Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Good evening. Dr. Gerald Pfeiffer here with Medical Frontiers for another Monday evening segment. And tonight we're going to be talking about headaches, especially migraine headaches. And Rob Pratt, how are you?
I'm good. I don't have a headache.
You don't have a headache?
So that's good, right?
Well, maybe you'll have one after Medical Frontiers, you know.
Well, if I do, I know who to call.
You know who to call. And, you know, we've talked about lots of awareness weeks, you know, for colon cancer, breast cancer, et cetera, et cetera. And June is Migraine Headache Awareness Month, right?
That's correct.
Okay. And we're very, very happy to have an expert about headaches sitting right here in the studio. She's not hooked up by phone. She's right here in the studio. She has been here several times. The last time was about 4 years ago. And something very, very, very important to this young lady happened in February of this year. As if you remember Dr. Santa Maria from 4 years ago, she's originally from Russia. She was born in Moscow, left the country in her early 20s, and spent some time in Spain. And she became a citizen of this great country of the United States of America in February. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. Such an honor and privilege. Thank you.
and that's great. And now she can vote. And, you know, she has three kiddos that go to Fox Chapel school system, and her husband's an architect. And we're so happy that you decided to practice here in Pittsburgh. She's a neurologist. She's a headache specialist. She had medical training at Drexel University in Philadelphia, closely allied with Allegheny Health Network. And we're happy to have you back on Medical Frontiers.
Thank you so much. It's such a pleasure.
Tell us about headaches. You see them every day. Tell us about it.
That's correct. And it's a complete parallel universe, I will say, specifically because a lot of patients sing and kind of suffer from a stigma from headaches. When they say, I have a headache, they're not really well understood, and they suffer from a lot of mismanagement and poorly diagnosed path. So I would say, specifically in this month, because we're talking about migraine month, migraine is a true neurological disorder and needs to be seen and managed appropriately. And it's such a privilege that I have established this amazing headache center with all my colleagues. And for the past 5 years, we've seen good amount of patients that come in will discover that suddenly their headaches, they kind of mismanaged, mistreated. Suddenly they pay attention to them, specifically now that we're entering in a new era of treatments for migraines.
Yeah, that's good news.
It's a wonderful news.
Good news. Okay. And migraine headaches are more common in women than men?
That's correct, yes.
Is that thought to be hormonal?
You know, there's a different triggers. And as we're entering in a different pathophysiology and different pathways and behind that, specifically now with the new treatments, you see in the past 4 years, and that was May 2018, we had first monoclonal antibody therapy approved for migraines. And you're wondering most likely how migraine should be treated such expensive biologic therapies. And it's because we do have a pathophysiology behind. And we're talking about calcitonin gene-related peptide, which is the most important endogenous vasodilator of peripheral and cerebral blood vessels. So if you see those patients are developing response to this treatment, there's something more than just hormones. So there's a lot of signal molecules that once activated by different triggers. So if you can see hormonal adjustments and triggers as one of the pathway that will activate this really complex cascade of inflammatory process that in the end is going to lead to hyper-excitable brain, as I call them, then you're going to develop all this cascade of symptoms. And it's not only that throbbing pain that the patient experiences, it's more than that. You can just see and translate this kind of fogginess because of the inflammatory process. You can see patients develop some visual changes, cognitive disturbances, sleep affectation, anxiety, depression can be in the same path. And then, of course, the usual nausea, vomiting, and sometimes you can actually, it presents with a complex aura, as you see. Not on a lot of patients, only 31% of patients will have that. So this categorized more even complex presentation because it's associating with this phenomena that happens in the cortex, which we call it cortical spreading depression. And when that happens, patients can start losing some abilities and capacities, which we call focal neurological signs or symptoms. Right. And some patients will be scared because they're thinking they're having a stroke.
Yeah, do you think that some migraines may be in the realm of autoimmune disease?
That's a really good question. And I think any disbalance in the body can trigger if you have predisposition. And you know, right now we're talking about genetics, and it's really important to know that 90% of patients with migraine will have somebody in the household having the same presentation. Although early in the years, and we're talking about, you know, decades, patient will just call it a headache and they just go to sleep. I'll take something over their counter. But if you go and trace all that, you see that actually it runs in the family. So as to say that, it kind of underlies this predisposition. Some patients will have, I call it dormant gene, they will not activate it, but then you have some triggers to that. As you mentioned, autoimmune, for example, thyroid dysfunctions can trigger that, right? And then, of course, we have, MS patients will have that as well. So this is really important because when patients come to you, you just don't assume it's just a headache. You have to go even thorough on the diagnosis and definitely MRI of the brain, which is this really particular study that studied the whole layers of the brain to identify if there's any other lesions or other diseases that can cause that.
And one of the symptoms of this past pandemic was a headache, COVID-19.
That's absolutely right. And that was definitely another trigger. You see, as a secondary headache disorder, sometimes you see the infection can be one of the leading factors for headaches.
Yeah. Okay. This is Medical Frontiers. We're talking about headaches, especially migraine headaches. And this is Migraine Headache Awareness Month. So give us a call at 866-391-1020, and you can ask your questions of this expert in headaches, Dr. Dolores Santa Maria. We'll be back after the break. Okay, we're back on Medical Frontiers, and tonight we are talking about headaches, especially migraine headaches. Give us a call, 866-391-1020. And our guest this evening is Dr. Dolores Santa Maria. She is the director of the Headache Clinic at Allegheny Health Network. And I ask her how long it takes somebody, a new patient, to get to see her, and we're talking about months and months, but you don't have to actually wait that long because we do have nurse practitioners, PAs, and so on, who can screen patients and so on, and like Dr. Santa Maria said, there's always ways that we can squeeze in if we have to, if somebody is really in trouble, so and that can be done by going to 412-DOCTORS by phone or on the internet at ahn.org. So, headaches, give us a call, 866-391-1020. Let's go right to the phone lines. October, good evening. And October is from Butler. Do you have a question, October?
Yes, I do. I've dealt with headaches, and I used to take medicine for glaucoma And I used to take headaches for when I'd have my monthly, but I don't have my periods anymore. But lately I've noticed that I've had headaches. It'll go from the right side of my temple and go back in the neck. And the nurse here suggests that I may have temporal mandibular joint, and I'm going to the dentist to find out tomorrow. Mm-hmm. If that's what it is, then how was that treated?
Okay. Do you see patients with temporomandibular joint that complain of headaches?
Definitely that can be one of the triggers because any abnormalities in the jaw and the face, like deviating septum, so a lot of facial, mandibular, and muscular problems specifically can radiate to the neck. And then you also have to take in consideration if that neck also can be causing one of the irradiating pain that presents like this. I think you're in a really good path of seeing definitely a specialist to check the jaw, and they will be able to diagnose. If that will be relieved and you find the trigger, you find the cause, because remember, headache can be a reactive thing, right? It's just one of the symptoms that are going to tell you that something is not aligned or not balanced. So if you find that is the way to alleviate that disalignment, that definitely can help your headache.
Okay.
Do they do some type of surgery or what?
I think first they have to diagnose. So when you go there, they're going to do a special analysis and definitely thorough examination. And once that's done, most likely they can use some axillary tests, and that can be definitely done with the MRI or CT. And once all that done, they will be able to treat you appropriately.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thanks for the call, October. Really appreciate it. Another cause of headaches that I became familiar with this recently with a relative who's 28 years old, developed shingles of the right side of his neck and head, and terrific headache. And he was told when he was seen, I guess one of the urgent care, and that he was seen in an emergency department, but that they're seeing more and more of that now, shingles in young people, you know.
That's really interesting that you pointed that. And again, shingles will come as an immunosuppressed state. So depression, as you know, can cause immunosuppressed state. This is amazing how everything links like this. But we just coming from really tough period of everybody, even young people, experience, you know, lockdown, to be depressed, a lot of changes in adjusting their life. So that definitely can, you know, be one of the causes. But nevertheless, this type of headache, actually we call it neuralgia, because the pain is shooting, it's terrible, and it's associating with specific anatomic redistribution of trigeminal nerve. And that's what we call postherpetic neuralgia. Treatment's
right.
A little bit different, but definitely can be really devastating.
We can really be painful for a long time.
Yes.
Yeah, I saw some patients with shingles of the torso that had tremendous post neuralgic pain. Sometimes we gave injections, intercostal injections, and to try to relieve some of that pain with a steroid injection. But headaches can be very, very disabling, you know, for sure.
That's correct. Yeah, yeah. And as you actually pointed a little bit earlier, some patient actually needs to come to the hospital and be admitted.
Right. What about, how do you diagnose, say, the garden variety headache that we all get, you know, and a migraine? What is the true diagnosis of a migraine headache look like?
That's such a beautiful question, because actually it's not that hard. You just have to ask appropriate questions. Imagine when the patient comes and it says, well, doc, I'm here because I have a headache. They never call it migraine because nobody before diagnosed that. So you ask questions like, so how bad is the pain? Nah, it's not that bad. Would you take something for that? Oh, yeah. What happens if you don't take something? Oh, I'll be miserable. How miserable? Oh, I will lie down in a dark room. Here you have. You have throbbing pain. You have severe. You have duration of the pain, of course, the line half day over there. And then another really important question is, that take you off of wherever you're doing right now? Is it interfering with your physical activity? Oh yeah, I cannot do anything. I cannot function. I cannot think. And then you have to have one not painful symptom, which is usually sensitivity to the light, sensitivity to the noise, nausea or vomiting. So you only have one of non-painful stimuli or symptoms to diagnose the migraine, and two of those that I already mentioned, or throbbing pain or severe disability or moderate to severe pain. So it's relatively easy to diagnose.
Okay. Easy for you. That's your subspecialty, you know. But
you know what I found? It's easy to diagnose, but not easy to accept the diagnosis.
Well, there you go. Yeah.
Because when you deal with this migraineous diagnosis, you definitely have a path to go to reverse that hyperexcitable brain. And for that, you have to take a treatment. And a lot of patients will not see that easily. It's just a headache. Why do I have to take a treatment?
Right.
And some patients have to take it daily. So.
Yeah. Okay. Are there medications today that somebody can take daily or periodically to prevent migraines?
That's, again, a really good question. And for that, you have to be really precise at how you diagnose migraine, because some patients will have just episodic migraine once in a while, like October when she called before. She said maybe one or twice a month. And then you have patients that have it more often, or sometimes they're not that often, but they're really disabling that can last several days. So if that happens, you have to think about daily treatments. And in that regards, the old treatments, they were all in a category of antidepressants, antiepileptic, beta blockers. But now the exciting part about now is that we have a new innovative, completely new era, I will say, of the migraine treatments, which is monoclonal antibody therapy.
Okay, and how is that done?
This is a biologic that you have to inject once a month, because it does not go through the liver, through the kidneys, bypass all of this, and goes directly to block calcitonin gene-related peptide. And we have receptor blocker, and then we have ligand blockers. But it also exciting part, for those who are phobic to the needles, we have actually small molecules, which are pills that you can take on a daily basis or every other day or as needed to prevent them.
That's not an infusion. It can be done intramuscular injection.
Exactly. Right? So injectable, it's subcutaneous once a month. And then pills are the usual, all the time, you know, all new pills that you can take, again, every night to prevent the migraines. And it's the same category of calcitonin gene-related peptide receptor blockers.
Can patients inject themselves?
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. It's auto-injector, it's pre-filled, and it's really easy to use.
Okay. Well, this is Medical Frontiers. Very interesting subject this evening, headaches, especially migraine headaches. And we have a specialist in to talk about that. And give us a call at 866-391-1020. Dr. Dolores Santa Maria will answer your questions, and we'll be back after the break. Welcome to Medical Frontiers, talking about headaches tonight, especially migraine headaches. 866-391-1020. Our guest is Dr. Dolores Santa Maria. So she can answer your questions. All our lines are available, 866-391-1020. What is a cluster headache?
Thank you so much for asking. Those patients can be years without proper diagnosis, and they can just be underdiagnosed and suffering from what we call suicidal headache. It's the worst headache you can imagine. The difference from migraine, although sometimes migraine can be unilateral, cluster is strictly unilateral. It always, always comes on the same side. Now, can be associating with autonomic dysfunction. And when you see this person with sufferings in an acute attack, it kind of mimics the stroke, because the pupils can change the side. The eye is drooping. The eyelid is drooping. It's all red. And they're just pacing. They will never stay still. And that's the difference. With migraine, they will go to the dark room. They will isolate themselves. Everything will bother them. With a cluster attack, they start really fast in 5 minutes or so. They get really intense right away, 10 over 10 in comparison to the scale from 1 to 10, be 10 the worst. And fortunately, they don't last that long. So an hour and a half, most 3 hours, they basically dissipating. They comes as the name is, in clusters. So they have the circadian rhythms, either at night, the most prevalent at 2 a.m. That's why patients are threat to go to sleep, but also through the seasons, like they have this binomial presentation, either spring, autumn, or summer, or winter. So, and patients can kind of document those bouts that they come, and sometimes can stay a month, a little bit less than a month, can come every day or every other day, and they can have up to 8 attacks per day. So again, a little bit different from migraine, as you see, strictly unilateral pacing, agitation is there, and extreme pain. Patients actually wanted to bend their head and wanted to jump out of the window.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. Okay, let's go to Bill in Wexford. Good evening, Bill. You're on the air.
Hi. I just have a general knowledge question about migraine. Because my mother was always prone to migraines, like all the time. But then she got put on Coumadin because of a heart problem. And after, I noticed after 4 or 5 years, it occurred to me that, wait a minute, she hadn't had a migraine in so many years. And I just wondered if Coumadin or blood thinners, might have stopped the migraine, prevented it from happening, so to speak.
Okay, doctor.
Yes, Bill, thank you so much for that observation. And it can be definitely an improvement in health, or it can be just the time that migraine will basically win off. You know, we have this term of growing up the headaches, so you kind of grow them up, and you don't have them anymore with the time. But also the medical conditions. As remember, we discussed before, you have to have those triggers, those disbalances. So in case of your mom, most likely was all these medical conditions with the heart. So once she started appropriate medication and she started feeling better, most likely that also influenced in overall her brain response, brain response to the stress. And just to having a disease or being untreated or being even underdiagnosed can cause that. So I think that can be a combination of things. Now, if you want to just pinpoint a specific treatment like Coumadin, again, there's no direct correlation as far as I know using anticoagulants. But there's a different treatments on a cardiological path like calcium channel blockers or beta blockers that definitely show some efficacy on prevention. So that I can know for sure.
Okay. Did that answer your question, Bill?
Yeah, it did. So it's basically she's saying it's like indirect more than direct.
Correct. Right. And if you look at her list of medication, and if with that Coumadin she received any of other treatments like, blood pressure control, that also can be considered as a preventative therapy.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Okay, Bill, thanks so much for the question, and good luck with your mom. 866-391-1020. How about post-concussion headaches? Is that similar to those can be pretty severe for a period of time.
Absolutely. This is a great question because we do see patients, and I can kind of qualify them in two categories. So there's those who never had migraines prior to that, and actually those who had migraines prior to concussion considers as a risk factor. So imagine this already predisposed to hyperexcitability brain has any type of impact. And it can be a really slight impact. Doesn't have to actually lose consciousness to have that. Whiplash or sports or contacts can trigger these migraines. But of course, there's also another differentiation here. We have to make it really clear that after concussion, you can actually develop what we call acute post-traumatic headache. And that can have migraineous features. Again, this is all inflammatory process that you don't see because you do studies and everything, it's fine. You do MRI of the brain, you don't see inflammation there. It's all biological. It's all on a molecular level, I would say, because of all these signal molecules that activate all these pathways of nociceptive, which is another name to say that pain release, all these pain modulation areas gets a little bit out of balance. But yes, it's definitely a big problem, specifically if you do have migraine as an underlying cause for that. So they can trigger really bad headaches. It can be associated with cognitive dysfunction, with the sleep disturbances. And again, depression can come along with that as well.
How about electroencephalography? Are there changes in EEG studies when somebody has, say, a garden variety headache versus a migraine?
That's actually a really good observation because we have a term, migrolepsy. And those patients suffer from epilepsy, which you can see definitely a special pattern on electroencephalogram. But those patients sometimes can be, the seizures can be triggered by migraine. or the migraine can trigger the seizures. And by itself, migraineurs will not have any problems with with electroencephalogram. So EEG should be normal, and MRI should be normal to exclude all the causes for headaches prior to diagnosis with migraine. That's why it gets sometimes so difficult, specifically in the courts, when patients want to apply for disability, to fight and convince the judge they cannot perform their work because of the migraine burden, because everything else is normal. So this disease becomes subjective kind of matter, and that's what we're talking about, migraine stigma, and hopefully that's going to change.
Okay. All right, we need to take our last break before our last segment. And this is Medical Frontiers, and we're talking about headaches tonight. And this is Migraine Headache Awareness Month. And 866-391-1020 is how you can talk to our expert headache person this evening, none other than Dr. Dolores Santa Maria. 866-391-1020. We'll be back. Okay, we're back on our last segment of Medical Frontiers for this Monday evening. And we're talking about headaches, especially migraines, and our guest is Dr. Dolores Santa Maria. Give us a call, 866-391-1020. During the break, we were talking about some things that can trigger headaches and so on, but I want to ask Dr. Santa Maria about PET scans. And because somebody with a migraine can have a normal EEG, can have a normal MRI, but tell us about PET scans. You said that that may be helpful.
Exactly. So we don't order that really frequent, but there was a different studies done in patients specifically with medication overuse headache. And unfortunately, some patients just don't see a ways to treat the headache properly, and they start overusing over-the-counter treatments just to get better on a daily basis. Or some providers just from the big heart will prescribe a little bit more because they're saying it is helping. And when you reach a limit and when you pass that limit and you continue using this medication, you can develop what we call medication overuse. It's not they're overusing because they wanted to overuse. They're just overusing it because that makes them feel better. But it kind of actually cuts you in a cycle. And there's a different pathways that can lead to some metabolic changes in the brain. And then nothing better than the PET scan that studies the absorption of glucose in a certain areas of pain modulation structures. And you can see some areas can be actually changing metabolically. There's a hypometabolism which is persistent, and that's the orofrontal cortex. And that's the same cortex lightening areas that we've been seeing with patients with opioid addiction. So this is paradoxical when you think some treatments that they were designed to help you actually can lead to some changes on a functional MRI.
And we've talked a bit about certain foods that can, you know.
That's correct.
Too much sugar in a milkshake can give you a headache, but not necessarily be a trigger for a migraine. But I guess that could, if you're prone to migraines, or any number of things that could trigger that in an individual.
That's absolutely correct. And, you know, when patient comes to our headache center, we do have a specific questionnaire. And I always ask, what's your most common triggers? And patients who lived with migraines for a long time will know them all. And they will tell you, you know, if I ate too much, and they call it, you know, spices in a Chinese food, like MSGs, or if I drink alcohol, like wine, specifically red wine, we have sulfonates, nitrates, MSGs, all this definitely can trigger them. Some patients will have specific response to they will have specific response to the artificial sweeteners. Some will direct to the sugars, and they know every time they, you know, go to the party and there's a cake, if they eat a little bit more chocolate and stuff like that, that will definitely can trigger that. So, and then beside food, you have your common, you know, barometric pressure changes. Storms can do that. Not sleeping well, as you mentioned, right? Having interrupted nights, extreme exhaustion. And physical and mental exhaustion can do that. And we were just commenting of everything is changing right now, lifestyle changing. We're adapting to different new ways of working. And a lot of people right now are working from home in front of the computer. So prolonged hours staring at the screens can trigger migraines as well because of the brightness and the special frequency on the screen. So the screen savers can help. Special lenses also can help with special modulations of the light frequency can help as well. So this is all really interesting, how one can feel the body, change the lifestyle, and can avoid a lot of triggers.
Any difference in where people live? Does geography have some influence on migraines?
Yes, and you can tell some patients just really love to go to more stable climates. Like the, I have a patient who moved to Arizona. It's really dry there. There's not that many storms, and definitely can help. But definitely barometric pressure changes, altitudes, you know, all these storms that right now we're having nonstop, I definitely see more exacerbations around that time.
Mm-hmm. How about pollution?
That's a really good question. The same as a pollen, right? As right now we kind of finishing the really rainy, actually helps, like the rain helps with all the pollen. But yeah, pollution, pollen, any external triggers can definitely do. A lot of migraineurs will call them sinus headache because they feel inflammation in the sinuses, frontal headaches. They call them sinus frontal headaches. And if you ask a little bit more questions, you say, and you kind of diagnose that actually it's another presentation, another trigger for migraine.
Yeah. Okay. Wow. We have covered a lot of questions tonight. Not so many from our callers, but you and I have talked about various questions of headaches, and that's really great. We have about a minute, and give us 30 seconds of advice for headaches.
I think be cheerful, eat well, sleep well, and definitely don't disregard the importance because it's a true neurological disorder. It needs to be assessed and treated properly.
And get medical care. If there's some change, and we've talked about this for years
Correct.
With Medical Frontiers, if there's some change in your body that you don't understand, and it doesn't go away, it keeps recurring, get medical care.
That's correct.
Have a PCP, right?
That's right.
And if you have a real bad headache, call Dr. Santa Maria.
Thank you so
this
much.
Is Medical Frontiers, and we're going to say goodnight. Good health, everyone, and thanks for listening, and thank you for being an excellent guest, Dr. Santa Maria.
Thank you. It's an honor.
Okay. Good.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s?
It's better over here.
Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.